You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists from all over the world. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. Please search for Fakeologist Audio Chat and Fakeologist Main Show on your favorite podcast app. To connect to our always on and always streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. To listen to the live stream, go to fake11.com/radio2. Now, on with the audio chat.
Is Klaus Schwab from Seefeld Economic Order? Is that what I know? No, it's a World Economic Federation, Foundation, whatever. WEF. No, yeah, whatever. And it's now the 21st of the May, 2023. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And this, the world is going through the wonderful changes to go back into the new world order that we have been wanting for many years, be told 100%. And you're going to listen to Ike, possibly talking to Ab Rato in about, soon, very, whenever he gets out of bed in the wonderful, Canada. Wonderful. So you're listening to Ike briefly talking to himself. Zelf. Z-E-L-F. Zelf.
Thank you, Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Federation. Is it Foundation Federation? I can't. For some reason, remember anything. I thought my memory was coming back fantastic last night. Everything I wanted to remember popped back in my head, but tonight, World Economic, whatever. The Sunday, the 21st of May, 2023, and I've just been, I found two amazing books the other day as I was roaming around inner city, Sydney. You know, this is outside a house worth at least $5 million. Minimum. And they have one of those free library book things where they give away books, you know, to make themselves feel better about themselves. And here, I picked up two books. Two of the, I'm calling the uber-esoteric. The uber-esoteric. One of them's called Interpreting Lilith by Delphine Gloria J. Lilith, an astrological point, has been known to astrology since the early 1700s. It is only now that Lilith has been put into the workable perspective used in chart delineation. Now, this is high-level astrology here. And Lilith, just remember, is very... You could say satanic. You could say that. It's certainly, Lilith was the wife of the head of psychological warfare, who mysteriously shot himself, I believe, last year or 2 years ago. The head of the Temple of Set, the high level. I don't think you get a higher level psychological warfare expert than him. Who was on Oprah, you know, he went in, instead of going into hiding when they started making allegations about Aquino, you know, this is Michael Aquino I'm talking about, Aquino, A-Q-U-I-N-O, and his mother, look into his mother, be told, look into the Mrs. Aquino, very interesting. And the second book is basic, this is, I'm telling you, out of a extremely wealthy house, probably a person in financial employment. The Basic Principles of Geocosmic Studies for Financial Market Timing by Raymond A. Merriman. So this is basically the founder of Forbes magazine that said, or some other billionaire said, millionaires don't use astrology, billionaires do, or believe in it, whatever. And here you go. This book is not a, this isn't a book for conspiracy theories. This is a book for big business. It's, you know, printed. It's a New York printing publication from Bloomfield, Massachusetts, by Robert A. Raymond Merriman, and it's basically how to use the stars for your investments. Now, I can tell you now, my brother would say, if I sent him a, he'd say this is madness. You know, he's just completed his masters of psychology or whatever he's doing, social work. But yet the biggest and the richest people on the planet are using the stars. And they also, just remember this, using the stars to control you by news reports. And I had a conversation last night, which kind of got derailed because had a great guest come in who I hadn't spoken to for ages, the wonderful Benoit from Switzerland. So I didn't get to say the things I wanted to say because I wanted to talk about this and these numbers that they're baffling us with. Or maybe not baffling everyone, and not Dave J. Not Dave J. He's not being baffled. And I'm afraid to say he's starting to sound right with this. We, you know, a minor area of Australia had a massive story that dominated the news on Wednesday last week. The most depressing possible thing, children having their arms amputated from a bus accident. Their arms were ripped off. And I went to a job, and the lady opened the door up, and she goes, I had to turn the radio off. I'm so upset. So this louche thing where they're putting out bad news to get your negative energy out of people, I think it's a fact. I thought it was real. I put on a fakeologist, and I said, it's probably a vaccident. You know, the bus driver's been vaccinated and said an accident. But no, it was a truck driver went into him. I've seen the photo of the thing. It doesn't look like the kind of accident that would have resulted in kids getting their arms ripped off. Or amputated, but that could be just me. But Dave said, no, this is a 7 code. And blow me down, just after he said that, because he'd said it happened at 4:30, and that 4 and 3, 7, that's basic. But no, they put 7 children are in critical condition. 7, 7, 7. It was all over the story. Now, this should be easily proven wrong if people are, and there are people in Victoria that can get around, as I said last night before I got interrupted, and their three-wheeler tricycles, the fakeologist tricycle, get on it and cycle over to the hospital and say you want to see evidence, or, you know, you're a journalist, you know, you've got an IPS journalist badge, he's got them, and you're needing to find out more about this accident. By the look of it, this could be 100% fake because they have full spectrum dominance of the media now. I've no doubt about that whatsoever. They've proven with COVID, empty hospitals, you know, a few brave guys went in there and just absolutely gave it to them, particularly in New York. But honestly, you know, is it that bad that they're faking every story? And I do remember, again, I mentioned this last night, but I got derailed a bit because I'd stop talking about this, but this is a very important conversation. In New Zealand, we had a hostel fire in a hostel, and I thought that sounds terrible. Then looked at the news; it was 6 dead, 11 missing. So, but the big 611, which I'm telling you, that is 9/11. If you see 611, it's 9/11. They're the same numbers always being used. Was that fake? It wasn't a hostel full of backpackers. It was a hostel full of older people. So, again, easily, you know, put a few names in the newspaper. Are these fake events? These should be easily proven. These should be a grounds-on fakeologist should be able to get in there, find the death certificates if there's ever going to be any released, or the surgeons that worked on these children are cutting their arms off. And they... I said to Dave, it sounds, you know, amputations of arms. He said, but what does an arm look like? What shape is an arm? And I thought, it could be a 7. Could be a 7 if you to draw one on a stick figure. So, yeah, look, this is high level. I mean, if they are really faking events that big, we are really in the thick of it. Be told. I just had a message from Ab, actually. There's some person's contacted him wanting to do some more kind of humorous stuff and suggested that I get Klaus Schwab, not me, doing it. I get Klaus Schwab to read something that he's written. And I said to Ab, get him to put it down in script form, and I will see if Klaus Schwab can do it for him when he pops over to my house in his little black helicopter. Yeah, so fantastic at the moment. It's just if these events, and I'm talking about small regional events like bus crashes and are being faked, there is no reason why a good folkologist can get in there and start getting the details. Because if it happened just down the road for me, I'd be onto it. I'd contact firemen that I know or can find that information out if I had to find out, was it that bad? Were there really kids with their arms hanging off? This should be easily debunked. It should be easily debunked. But if it's fake, I tell you now, the World Economic Forum, that's what it was, they are risking all their hard work over the last 2,000 years plus to bring us into this new world order if we can fake it. And I think there'd be a really funny sketch that, if I could be bothered, you could do with the sketch of with Hitler and the downfall sketch. That's one of the funniest. I laugh every time I see it. You can put whatever your own script is with that particular scene of Hitler finding out that everything's over. And do one with Klaus Schwab finding out that Dave Jay's tumbled the entire plot. It's all over. Everyone's woken up now because they're using basic 7 codes with fake stories. You could do a fantastic one. I could write one if someone can put it onto a it's called a downfall maker, I think. There's one online that you can actually make your own script to the downfall thing. I'll write it, guaranteed, if someone can put it on there, and it'd be hilarious. You know, you'd have Hitler, or Klaus Schwab. Are you saying to me such entire 2,000 years of our conspiracy, the Masons, and the Rotarians and the Liberians? Has been destroyed by Death Jay and his 7 court. I cannot believe this. Very funny. It would be funny. I'll write something. But yeah, I took some notes yesterday too. I'll have to reiterate this. I don't know if I mentioned it last night. I can't remember. There you go. Memory loss. The Offman report, the Scotsman that he's got on there that's debunking nuclear weapons, fan-fucking-tastic. So I put it on, hopefully Ab will put it on to Fako Tube or whatever, but he's a Scottish guy who's got a science, he's got a degree in something or other. He went and did the Open University nuclear physics. So after he discovered it, when he was, same year I woke up really big time in 1982 when I started reading Carol Quigley books, be told, he realised that nuke bombs were fake, and he studied it and he wrote 2 or 3 books based on it, that they're fake. He agrees napalm, but he calls it napalm. I don't know why that he says napalm, but that's the only thing that I sent it to my brother, and he critiqued it by just saying, if you can't say napalm, I'm not listening. And I thought, there you go. You know, this guy was actually bang on the money. There are no such things as a nuke bomb. And we need to be on to this big time because it's coming. The Oppenheimer movie is coming out very shortly. And that is to reiterate the nuke bullshit. Just like Pearl Harbor with Ben Affleck came out 3 or 4 months just before 9/11 to reiterate Pearl Harbor. There's obviously something going to happen. I've said it last week. I'd say September this year or November, you're going to get some fake nuke. And it's very important to get this fake nuke stuff out there to the public and to anyone you can, because I think they're going to try something big and blame Putin, Rasputin. They're going to try and blame him because they are blaming him for our economy. They're blaming him for the weather, possibly. Not yet, but it's on the cards. Be told, on the cards. Mm. So very important to get that. So it's the Offerman report. And Ed Offerman's a fantastic interviewer because he doesn't rubbish people. He lets them say things and he asks hard questions like, how come they could have, you know, faked this in Nagasaki and Hiroshima?
It's the second pandemic, lads.
Monkeypox. Long COVID.
Monkeypox. Everyone's got the monkeypox now. Monkeypox.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Was it? It's dropping in and out on me. Dropping in and out. You're listening to Rick talking to himself till Abarato arrives. The peeps haven't arrived. I think Ad's pressed the wrong button and deleted the peeps, so we're not getting out 3 seconds before the bumper comes through. So I'm talking into it. Talking into it. So that made me lose my track of train of thought. But yeah, the nuke thing, I do think, that the guy that directed that movie, he's got the biggest stars on the planet in it. There's clearly Matt Oppenheimer is going to be a big, big film to psychically drive nuke bombs into your head again. That's what not your head, but the public's head. The public's head. Guaranteed. So something's coming up. I would say, using these dates, September or the November. An 8 with 9 or 11 in it, you're going to get a major incident to push us into mandatory mask wearing because of a nuke fallout, mandatory helmet wearing. IPS used to joke about that. I don't think it's a joke anymore. Mandatory radiation tests, mandatory radiation vaccine. Be told. I mean, look, all bets are off. All bets are off. They'll try anything. But look, we're at the moment, if you want to travel, get out there and travel. I wish I could because I haven't got the money to do it, but I'd be traveling right now because they are going to shut it down again. I'm pretty sure. Maybe not this year, but certainly next year. Certainly next year. So work out how long before the 9/11 ritual. Ritual. Look at your tarot cards. Ritual. They released the movie Pearl Harbor with Ben Affleck and a whole lot of other CIA linked stars, and see how long it's going to be from when they release Oppenheimer. And you're going to get kind of a rough idea that what's coming. It's clearly going to be nuclear related. And people, like even my brother, they want to believe in this mythical bomb because they know that if they don't believe in it, it's going to tumble all their other beliefs that they've been forced on them. The wars, the reasons for wars and what wars actually are and why, basically they still celebrate this ridiculous, Anzac Day over here. When it was, these people, if they were over there getting slaughtered, were getting slaughtered for nothing. In Vietnam, for nothing. The whole war based on a drug dealing and getting people off the land. No communist invasion whatsoever. Who was funding the communists? Who this is the communist party who founded the Fabians. They were wealthy people. The H.G. Wells's were their propagandists. And he was the guy again, H.G. Wells, Mercury, H.G., was the guy that invented the A-bomb for your brain in one of his early books. So if he's tied up with anything, it's a hoax. And that's a fact, Jack. Aliens, A-bombs. What else did he come up with? He was pretty, the Brave New World, not Brave New World, but he did a really good one, which I've got, I've been reading actually. And you can see the movie with mysterious chemtrails flying in the air at the beginning of the movie, The Shape of Things to Come. I think that was H.G. Wells. And I've just been reading The Shape of Things, which I Schumer's the same book, but it's about a couple escaping again, a domed city. And so here we go. How are they going to get us into these domes? But a fake nuclear event, I would say. But H.G. Wells, I mean, I just think, go back and read all these old books, particularly, so you get between H.G. Wells, Aldous Huxley, and George Orwell, and you're going to get a fairly accurate portrayal of the future. Now, I've just been listening to an interview with Mark Devlin, and he's doing some really good stuff. Not all of it, but a lot of it's really good. He's got some great guests. That's what I keep saying about people like Opperman. He'd be doing that. He did that interview with that Scottish lies guy, or Newton, who's been published since the 80s, that he wrote his first book, way before Jesse War. That's where I guess Jesse War got the information from, with his Nuke Lies video that he made. Very amateur, but it's on the point. It really is on point. And it does show you that the Lookout Mountain Film Studios made all those movies using sunrises, gelignite explosions with, napalm. Napalm, as this guy says in the interview. Napalm. It's incredible, obvious staged footage. And I had a guy who did the special effects on The Matrix sent me a message on Facebook, because he's half awake. That's the best way I could describe it. Half awake. But he refuses to believe that nuclear bombs are fake, because he makes explosions. His job, every time you saw someone getting machine gunned and bullet strikes in that movie, The Matrix, he was one of the team of 15 or 20 guys that were doing the drilling holes into fake concrete and putting little explosives. And so he claims he knows how to make explosions, that nuclear bombs look real to him. And he posted to me, the footage of this. There's a whole lot of people on an American ship at a test, and this bomb goes off, and all the sailors turn around to when the bomb goes off, and it creates this, not only what you call a tsunami, this was this giant white, basically it was a, but they just superimpose a normal explosion on top of the water. And I said to him, those ships and all those people would have been killed by that velocity of that wave. And he never got back to me after that to say that I was wrong. He just assumed that it was a real accurate naval or military atomic bomb test in the 40s and 50s. But just by looking at the thing, this is getting shared all over the place on Facebook for the anti-nuke people. It's so obviously fake once you know that they've faked these things. And again, this is going to be the new thing. Forget about COVID for a while. But nukes are coming, because there's no this is the biggest movie that's been released for a long time by one of the top directors who did the Batman movies. Again, Napoleon Wilson knows all about this. He's a player, Christopher Nolan, a major player. So he's got the biggest stars on the planet to do this Oppenheimer puff piece, multi-million-dollar puff piece. Using the state-of-art special effects. No CGI. I don't think he's using CGI, because he said it looks too fake. That's what Nolan himself said. So they couldn't fake it. They've obviously had to fake it. Be interesting to say, how did you accomplish the effects that you've used in this film? And if he was brave enough to say it, then that's how they faked the first ones, which don't look very real to me anymore. But highly recommend this. It's on Fakeologist Discord. I'll put it on the show notes. It's Ed Opperman, the private investigator, interviewing a Scotsman who's, now get this too. I could tell he wasn't bullshitting too. And Scots are the best of the lot. I love Scottish. They're not bullshit artists. That's what Alan Watt, Neil Foster. Great. They tell it like it is. There's part of the genetics. That's why they want to get rid of the Irish and the Scottish and the Greeks, I do believe, off the planet, because these people don't like tyranny. It's in their blood to fight back. They'd rather you be from meat or vegetable meat or vegetable. That country, or China, where they've been controlled for many, many, many years by a elite family. And he said that he went to a... So he's obviously in the know. His father was a aerospace engineer who told him that the moon was the landings were fake in 1969 when he was 11. He also was in a bar somewhere, quite a well-to-do bar, and he said there was a former prime minister there, and I'm here to say, and I like the way he didn't name him, because when you know people, and I'm sometimes the same, you don't name them. People that have got a bit of power, you don't mention their names. They don't need their names. So you just say that it was someone that you know, work it out for yourself. I think it was Gordon Brown in a Scottish bar, because he's Scottish. And he was there by himself in some nightclub, It was a very upmarket hotel bar, and they ended up having a great conversation. I think this guy knew his father, and he said that in the conversation, he was drunk. And trust me, these guys are psychopaths. Tony Blair, if it is him, it could be him as well. They will brag about this kind of stuff if they think you're in the know. They don't care. They know that they've got the media shut down. It's completely shut down now. And he told this guy in the 90s, I think it was, or the early 2000s, that there is no, he said, the reason why we don't have, that they don't have a nuclear alert button because the Russians don't have one. He said, there is none. And he admitted to me, he said, there is no such thing as a nuclear threat. There is no such thing. It's been used to scare you since 1945. Used to scare you, to terrify you, and to, you know, we can be no more, we can't use this ever again. I think it could be up there with the moon landings as the biggest psyop over COVID, even. Because that image of the nuke bomb, and COVID does look like an explosion when you look at COVID. They've tried to use that same subconscious fear, you know, a spiky, like spidery type, explosive type thing that was floating around killing you. For sure. They're using the subconscious. I keep reiterating, the subconscious is what they're attacking. They're not getting your eyes. They want the subconscious, and this is why... sheer coincidence, Bernays's nephew, the nephew of Freud, double nephew of Freud somehow, how he worked that one out, I don't know, but he was. His great nephew or nephew's whatever is in charge of Netflix, where you're getting your biggest subconscious uploads. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. You're listening to Rick Tong himself. Oh, I just had a beep in my ear and there's no advert. So obviously, the beeps aren't working. And I'm glad I could come on and finish what I wanted to say last night, because I had a number of... the other thing, Devlin had another guy, he's only young, like the guy's been doing a research since 2016 or 2017. But he's a, what would you call it? He's almost a, not autistic, but you know, when someone can know all the numbers and memorize everything, he's obsessed with Chinese horoscopes. And he said he doesn't need a chart. He's got them all in his head already. And he went through a list of, I think the, how you call it? So you've got a fire dog or a water cat or, you know, a water pig. He just read through a list of all the female singers that were might be fire dogs or you got your elements or your monkey. You got different animals in the Chinese horoscope. So I'm a dragon. I do mysteriously get on well with people that are 12 years older than me, like a house on fire. It's always been that way. And they're 12 years younger, same thing. There's something in the Chinese horoscopes for sure. And last year we're in the year of the ox, which is OX, and I'm telling you that is the Antichrist number. So last year was when he or it arrived, be told. That logo with the two, the horns and the zero and the X. That's, I guess, 1 to 10 or 1 to, you know, which doesn't make sense. Actually, should be 1 to 9. But there's no doubt about that. Something happened last year that was the year of the ox, X, in Chinese horoscopes. But anyway, this guy, it was incredible. He just went through and named all the big, like Madonna and all these famous, Celine Dion and all, a whole lot of them. They're all born exactly the same time or year. They're all members of the same Chinese horoscope, a fire dragon. None of them were dragon. Dragons are the best, as far as I'm concerned. The best. Something made so much sense to me, and I'll try and find. I think it might have been a recent interview, but this only a young guy, but it fits the pattern that I'm saying that there is a star pattern that everything works under. Or is it God Himself who created the everything that used the mathematics and the patterns of the stars to create this event? Could be. I would say that for what it was. And now we're picking up on it, that there are certain numbers and frequencies used all the time against us and for us. Against us with this number 7, the perfect number, or, you know, number of God. Always deemed, it's always a bad story involved with 7. Go through and have a look at 7 children killed in a cyclone. 7 dogs burned to death. We talked about this last night. These are all things I've heard on the news. And then there's 7 children having their arms amputated last Wednesday. Nothing can upset a mother more or a parent than hearing a story like that. Is there about this loosh, this energy, negative energy vampires out there, or, you know, the archons sucking up negative energy? Could be. Could be. So, yeah, I'm glad I got all those bits and pieces out. And hopefully I can, if this guy wants to get a some kind of, like, comedy thing going, which comedy is comedy is a very powerful tool to get truth out. A very powerful tool. And if you can get people to laugh, fantastic. Anyway, I'll be back if Ab turns up. And I'm back. I just muted a little bit, but you wouldn't have known that if things are working properly. Gordon Brown, interesting character. Very close friends, or his wife is, with J.K. Rowling. J.K. Rowling. There's another number there, in the J.K. Rowling. And Rowling means something of a sheep. I can't remember. There's something, there's a there with the name. I brought it up before, can't remember. Anyway, Gordon Brown, a nasty character by the look of it, I thought. And Alan Watt actually implied something very nasty about him. He was tied up with something nasty. And he was a Prime Minister of England, or Great Britain, not so great anymore, back in the day. For a term, I guess, 3 years possibly, not sure. He's very like Professor Snape in the movie Harry Potter, the show Harry Potter.
Hi, I'm Baby.
Sending Pride.
This is Lost Spider Phallus.
I'm Nightly News.
Frank McManus.
Adam Miller.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
Fakeologist.com.
And thanks, Fast Valley, for that bumper. And Velocet for making it with his special drumming sounds. What a talent. What a talent. Hopefully he's getting his life in order, and we're hearing from him soon. Yeah, there were some great names on that last one. Frank McManus, the ounce of salt per day. Frank the salt guy. Saw a YouTube of him being interviewed by a female about his incredible products. And I have to say, Moon Harvest, the fabulous barista, is still baristering, and he said he had to order Frank's salt because there's no other salt as good. Frank, I need to be paid for this. Frank, I need to be paid for this. And it's true. He's got the best salt. I had a huge amount of it. It didn't last very long. Did not last very long because I used it all. But yeah, no, Gordon Brown, is another one of these mysterious one-eyed, left-eye people. David Bowie is another one, DB, 42. GB, Gordon Brown, that's not 42, but there'll be a number there somewhere. That's 72, 7-2. What's 7-2? Gordon Brown. GB, that's number nine.
Number nine.
I think he's the guy that was talking to the Scottish guy that was in the bar. I'd say it was Gordon Brown that bragged that there's no such thing as nuclear bombs. It's the kind of thing he'd do, be told. But yeah, he had this look into Gordon Brown. He apparently injured his eye playing rugby at a private school. And he's only got one eye. Now, there's a lot of this, the one eye symbolism is, you know, for a fact. You know, just look at systems of control. Honey and money. And both, you got money is M with O-N-E-Y, and M is the Twin Towers with a V in between it. H is the Twin Towers with a bar in between it. So the symbol of money and honey, systems of control, are the same thing. And system, so your two towers and then one eye, honey, money, one eye, that's what they are. I think it was John from Hoaxbusters that said that, whether he came up with that or someone else gave it to him, but 100% guaranteed, that be told that honey and money are not like the word civic. These aren't words, these are symbols. Civic is a very, very powerful symbol. It's not a word. You got your C at the end, so you're 33. In between, you got your twin towers, the two eyes, and right in between, you got the big V. The big V. And just by coincidence, I've said this before, but the Civic Hotel is attached to the giant, huge Sydney Masonic Centre. Civic is not a word. Honey and money are not words, are symbols. Again, as Alan said, slow thinking. And M is the Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks. Well, that's another reason why he would have called that show Twin Peaks too. And that show is absolutely jam-packed with stuff. Incredibly also that, you know, the main character, the cop, he's named Dale something Cooper. That's D.B. Cooper. So D.B. Cooper, the same 42 that I've exposed by myself, no one else. D.B. Cooper is a complete hoax. It is the myth of the man falling to earth. The myth of the man falling to earth. So the movie Twin Peaks, and that director who did also Dune, David, what's his name? The guy knows stuff. You're talking about high-level esotericist of the highest magnitude. Whereas from Harry Potter, J.K. Rowling, there's no way she knows that stuff. She's been given it and she's been helped along. And the fact that she's very close friends with Gordon Brown's wife and the family, very close friends of the Browns, the Bruins, there's a there. You're listening to the top pointy end of esoteric information here. And I'm getting it from other people. Like I always mention Dave J. You got to, otherwise you're in trouble. And why wouldn't you? Because, you know, he's at the cutting edge. He's just a very fractious character, but he's cutting edge information. Cutting edge. Napoleon Wilson, cutting edge. I'm telling you, only a fraction of the people, even on Fakeologist, would understand what he's talking about, would even grasp what he's talking about with some of the stuff he's doing. But there's a there. And he seems to understand the higher levels of truth. But you can either do it or you can't. And I'm lucky that I can. But it's very difficult to find other people that can not, even your best friends that might be conspiracy theorists, they do not get this stuff. They do not get this stuff. They don't understand color, vibration, pattern. You know, it's not for everybody. I mean, in a pure proper society, you have a one witch doctor, one witch doctor. You don't have. This is the problem with conspiracy theories. There's like 50 witch doctors in a community. In actual fact, there can only be one guy in a tribe that understands these stuff, and he helps the other people to grasp some of it. But this is the problem. There's too many witch doctors, not enough Indians at the moment, as opposed to too many chiefs, not enough Indians. There's too many witch doctors out there that think they know the truth, but they do not. The truth is very, 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 very hard to understand. And it takes years to grasp it. But this kid that was on Mark Devlin, I'd say he is on the spectrum that he doesn't need to see charts where he could just, you give him a date and he can tell you what Chinese horoscope it was. And blow me down, he was naming person after person after person, all members of, I think it was the dog, year of the dog in Chinese horoscope. They all seemed to be like Madonna, Celine Dion, all of them, you know, these talentless, what would you call them at best? Madonna thinks she's the chief priestess of whatever, and her old videos show her as this. There's one of her very first videos, like a virgin, she pulls out a tarot card with High Priestess on it, and it's 1982 or 3 or 4 that that came out. She now calls herself a High Priestess. She studied Kabbalah. She's definitely on the dark side. But you were told that in 1982 or 83. This kid picked up on all that. Hot, 10 out of 10. He also, unfortunately, did believe in a number of things that I do not believe in, but he'll learn. He'll get there eventually. You're listening to Rick talking to himself. I'm just going to mute a bit, and I'll keep going if Mr. Fakeologist Idol turns up. I'll be back. And he's back, but would you have noticed? Would you have noticed? No, you didn't, thanks to the Velo Box. The Velo Box. Have I got my microphone in the right position? Probably not. So last night we had a great conversation with Benoit. I don't know if it came out very well because he was using a microphone. I think he was moving around Switzerland, but very exciting conversation, I'm sure. It would have been, guaranteed. And I had to go and have a hot bath and didn't come back on, but I'm here tonight to talk about some of the interesting things going on. So we're getting, I haven't been IPS for at least a month. Oh, here he is, Mr. Fakeologist.
Good morning. Happy Sunday.
But yeah, so now, Dr. Rashid Batar died on Thursday.
Allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what did he die of? What did he die of? Isn't that the first good question?
If he's really dead, I would say he's only 57.
Yeah.
57. He got, he may have been taken out. Who's to know? But very strange that one of the leading conspiracy theorists, and that's what they call him when you look up his name, he's a conspiracy theorist.
I think he's a half-truther, isn't he? He's a half-truther.
What was his? I can't remember. I did enjoy some of his things he did.
I don't even know. I just know he's a half-truther, and I just ignored him. You got to really filter the information, otherwise your head will get clogged up with crap. I don't think he's a truth-teller, so I pretty much ignored him.
Yeah, I remember he was one of a group of people, but I ended up thinking, what's his name? The other guy that was really big ended up being quite good. He was a doctor. I know he's an immunologist, but he was one of those doctors that ended up being, from what I heard, fairly credible at the end of the day. Because at the end of the day, we've got to look at who said what back then, and are they credible still to this day? And I think, I can't remember this guy's name off the top of my head, but he was, Kaufman, Dr. Andrew Kaufman.
I think he's still a good guy. I think there are a few problems, but I think overall he's a good guy.
That's what I'm saying. At the end of the day, he retained credibility. He didn't make, he stood by his claims, and we didn't deem him a shill or a stooge. You know what I mean? He still got some credibility out of his claims.
Yeah.
By most of the big truthers out there, they're still giving him golden reviews. But we've moved on. We've moved on, and it's not the COVID thing. It's the trans agenda and the.
I'm going to tell you who I'm listening to. I just posted on FakoTube.com. FakoTube.com is user supported. Thank you for your donations. And I just posted Denis Rancourt. He's from Quebec, La Belle Provence. And we're having this thing called the National Citizens Inquiry in Canada. Because that's what British parliamentary systems do. They have inquiries. They create reports and they do nothing. Well, I mean, that's how we do it.
At the end of the day, nothing.
Well, nothing much. Yeah. I mean, I shouldn't say that, because usually these big commissions, they create reports and they create recommendations, and most of them get implemented. But that's how these scandals and these problems get treated in Canada and probably even Australia. But this is not a government-sanctioned inquiry. But it's like one, because that's what Canadians are used to. So these are people that are not sanctioned by the government, and they're doing this inquiry where they're having all these testimonies from different truth tellers to different degrees. And Denis Rancourt is a really, I think he's a good one. I think he's legit.
How do you spell it again, just for the heart of hearing?
Well, his name is Dennis, D-E-N-N-I-S. Yeah. And Rancourt is Rancourt. So I'm just using my wonderful fake French accent. I think even Benoit would appreciate and approve. But anyway, he's doing a really good job testifying, and he is only going off the only solid number you can really go off, and that's all-cause mortality. So more people died in different countries at different times, but it almost always coincides with the vaccine. So the first couple days after the vaccine are the highest mortality, and then it drops off a cliff after that. So if you don't die after the first, second, or third shot, you're probably going to survive, but you might have chronic problems. But that's really the only number he said he can really definitively look at worldwide, because there's just no way to prove otherwise that somebody died 3 months later from the vaccine. Yeah. They could have died from a million other things.
Yeah, well, one of the things I certainly have heard is people that were in remission from their cancer were straight back in again with cancer after their vaccines. Mm, that's definitely a thing I'm hearing. That's what you call first person anecdotal, first or second person anecdotal.
After the break, Rick and Roll.
This is a Rick and Ab.
Those beats.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, I'm Rachel from Liverpool, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
Thank you, Rachel. Rachel's the best.
Having a couple of jambutties, as she listens to and does her research, be told. She's up there with one of the top female fakeologists on the planet.
Yeah, be thank told. You, Rachel.
No arguments entered into with this one.
And where can you find her work?
Researches.
Fakeologist.com.
On fakeologist.com.
Forums 2.
Forums 2. Yeah, fantastic.
And if you want to reach Rick at fakeologist.com, send Rick an email. He loves email, especially if it's brain phrase even.
I don't care. Anyway, going back to that, you forwarded me a bit of information from someone that's saying they want to do something, and I thought, yeah, if they can send me a script,
yeah,
of what they want me to say, I can get Klaus to do it for me.
Yes, I forwarded that to you. I didn't quite read the whole thing because it was really for you.
Yeah, and I picked up. It looks fairly funny. I had a bit of a squiz at it. But, yeah. If he sends something that a script, I can do it. Or sorry, Klaus can do it for me. He will. He's that kind of guy.
Well, at least the guy's thinking about you, and he's thinking about comedy, and he knows you're good at impersonations.
Yeah,
so I'm not big on that for myself.
No. But I have to blow smoke up my own.
Go for it.
Anatomy. I've never heard anyone do a Klaus Schwab that sounds like Klaus Schwab on any show.
Yeah, you're spot on.
I've heard some terrible versions, and they've made me think, oh, really? Is that the best you can do? I mean, there's two really bad ones. I'm not going to ruin their reputation by saying who they are, but they can't do it at all. Klaus has a very, he does have a kind of a likable brogue to his, brogue. He has a likable kind of sound. He doesn't sound as evil and malicious, and there's a lot of comedy to be milked out of Klaus Schwab for sure. You know, he's got that German evil bad guy that we've been laughing at since anyone parodied Blofeld.
World War One,
World War Two. Yeah,
we've been making fun of the Germans accents for 100 years.
Thanks to H.G. Wells, be told. He started the whole thing rolling about 1890 something or other when he was writing script for British news. There was a serial in British newspapers about these evil Germans that were coming over to take over the planet. And back in the 1890s, I believe, Alan Watt, lucky a man who's read old newspapers like myself, is my favorite thing is old newspapers. I don't care what anyone says. If you can find an old newspaper, you're going to get absolute gold out of that, because that was what was told to the public back in the day. We know now that they were bullshitting about it, almost everything that they told us. And the fact that the Germans had inferior technology, I mean, I'm telling you now, the German technology of, say, a screwdriver back in the day, a handheld ratchet screwdriver by a German, I saw a fantastic YouTube. I shared it of a guy. He restores old tools, and he'd restored an old German screwdriver. This is before electricity, where they didn't have electricity and everything had to be done by hand. The Germans invented a screwdriver that you just pushed into the screw nozzle and pushed a few times, and it went in. And the British technology is. Like, just look at British cars, the Austin, for instance, or the
Jaguar.
Any of their cars are fucking hopeless. But the Volkswagen, look at the road. I'm telling you now, look at the roads today. What's zooming around still to this day after 1944 or 40, say 40, I think it was early 40s when the Volkswagen came out. There are still 1940s Volkswagens on the road right now to this day. There's not any 50s.
They're collector cars for a lot of people.
They may be, but they're still reliable. I mean, hippies have been traveling up and down the country, in every country, in Volkswagen microbuses and Volkswagen since, you know, the 60s or 70s when they became affordable. This
don't
is German technology.
Much anymore. Not where I am.
I do, because I live in a, like, it's a very, what would you call it? There's a lot of retired people here that have put their super, instead of putting into superannuation, they've invested into old cars, which do go up in value. I still cry every night when I think about it. The last air-cooled Volkswagen manufactured in 1979, I bought one for $6,000, number six, in 1990. 1989, thereabouts. And I sold it because I didn't think it was, you know, I couldn't drive. Have you ever driven a Volkswagen? They've got a different gear. The way the gearbox runs, you've got to get used to their clutch system is completely different. It's
yeah, honestly,
there's
I
a
have
name
not.
For it. I have. And if you can, they're the best car ever. If you can't, they're the worst car ever. And I couldn't at that stage drive on properly. And I sold
my grandfather
it.
Had the Volkswagen Bug from the 60s.
Yeah.
He had that.
Yeah. Well, those
I still
those
remember
vehicles
the smell of the leather. I think I remember the
and
smell of the
sound,
leather.
And the sound when you got in and someone slammed the door and your ears popped.
Yeah.
Cause
very
were
solid.
They were airtight.
Airtight, yeah.
Airtight, yeah. And they floated.
And they're cool.
And there was a great movie. Air cooled, yeah. So there's a fantastic movie called Castle Keep, I think it is. It's a World War II movie filmed in the 60s. And a group of American GIs, they try to sink this Volkswagen. And every time they put it goes under the water, it keeps popping back up again because that's the way they're designed. They're designed to float. So if you're in a flood and you're in a Volkswagen, guess what? You know, Hitler thought of that, or whoever it was that came up with the technology, but
they
don't sink, they float. They can, Ab, they can literally be used as boats. A Volkswagen Bug Beetle
is
airtight. Mm-hmm. You heard it here. I wouldn't say first. Someone surely has told you that before, but anyway.
No, I'm just telling I don't you remember that.
Information. Yeah, well, when you get into a proper Volkswagen Bug Beetle, you shut the door and your ears pop because they're completely airtight. The motors are designed, the motor is in the back of the, you know this, the motor is the back instead of the front. They're air cooled, so you don't need a radiator. These vehicles are still on the road today. Even though you've got to put I think you have to add an additive to the petrol if you're in certain countries.
Yeah.
You've got to add a lead or lead, like an injection thing.
Anti-knocking.
I'm telling you, I've owned two Volkswagens, a Caravelle air-cooled, which was a disaster, but the one before that was the last of the air-cooled ones, and it's now worth about $70,000 to $80,000 in bad condition.
Right.
If it's in good condition, probably $100,000-something. I sold it for $6,000. I don't even want to talk about it, but I already have. Exactly. You're right, Ab. How could I have known? Like buying a house.
How could you have known?
30 years ago.
And maybe the price will drop off a cliff when all the boomers die.
No. Because my daughter is obsessed with Volkswagens. The only reason she hasn't got one is because they cost $70,000 to buy a good one. I'm talking about a vintage one. So she's 21. So the 21-year-olds love Volkswagen. She's a perpetual, she's got that backpacker traveler hippie thing about her, and they love Volkswagen.
Does.
So that's still a thing. That's still a thing. Be told. Anyway, yeah. So going back to, I did think that Opperman interview was. Almost.
Yes, I listened to that. That was a good one. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
That was with a guy named, strange name, Thos Judge. Never heard of the guy, a musician of some sort. And
another musician.
I put it on FakoTube. I thought it was good enough to put on FakoTube, Rick.
I knew you would. Because honestly, I have weird sleeping patterns. I go to bed early and I wake up in the middle of the night. I listened to podcasts to help me put me back to sleep. And that came on. I went, hang on a minute, like fake news.
That was from February. That was an older one.
Mm. Now,
so are you behind in your Oppermans?
Oh, yeah. I haven't listened to him for 3 years. I told you I had big arguments. Not arguments, but he said to me, find me one thing in the global. What's that?
You talked to
Opperman? We were messaging each other on Facebook for a long time.
Oh, okay.
This is just when he just arrived. So he interviewed Chris Kendall and John Adams and Jay Dyer and Joe Dyer.
Oh, nice. I didn't know. All right, just hold on one sec.
Oh, yeah.
Give me one sec. Yeah, give me one second here.
This is our ideal show with Fakeologist Io and Ike. And we're just waiting for Aberato, the Ankley man, to come back from see whatever he has to do.
You know, Ed Offerman, I'll just keep talking here. Back in the 6-7 years ago, 2015-ish, when, you know, Chris Kendall, Hoax Busters, Jay Dyer, John Adams, a huge number of other fairly, they were all trying to, what would you call it, cross-pollinate and get their, you know, talk to each other to get more people onto their own sites. Kendall was interviewed by Ed Offerman and vice versa, I think. Or maybe not. He didn't have him on his show. But Ed is a rabid socialist. But I think he's absolutely fantastic. He's another Virgo, which I am. I have to give that away. Analysts. We are analysts. We analyse everything. And he's 2 years older than me. So he's about, he'd be 60 or so, or maybe 1 year older than me. fantastic interviewer. He does have bad information on there, but he also, when he interviews someone good, he's very polite, and the way he interviews people is fantastic. And he's got an investigative mind. He was actually involved with the investigations for the government for Epstein and Trump. So he's got a fairly good name in the investigation business. He is definitely a private investigator, I guarantee you that. Something I should have done. I worked for one, but not doing private investigation. I've helped renovate houses for this particular guy. Incredibly interesting character. So
who's that?
I worked for a private investigator. I was saying I should have been a private investigator because I'm good at that kind of that stuff. Yeah. I've got that mind that picks up on details. And
but anyway, I went and tried to find this guy's book, Thoth Judge. Ooh. And it's only a pamphlet, actually, but apparently it's a companion to another book. And I had to actually pay for it. I couldn't find it online. I paid 99 cents for it. I figured, okay, 99 cents I can buy. But then that's tried affordable. To turn even it up, into a PDF so I could share it. And this stupid book, Amazon locks it up. They lock up the file. And I wasted at least an hour trying to unlock it. I had to give up because I had to go to bed. But it was hardly worth it.
Okay, well, I'll just summarize. Not only did he expose nukes as being bullshit, but then he proceeded to the moon landings. His father was aeronautical engineer who told him when he was 11, he was, it was 1969, he was 10 or 11 years of age or whatever. He said, "Dad, I want to stay up and watch the moon landings." And his father said, "They're faked. They can't do it. It's impossible. You're not staying up. It's not."
He said his dad was sitting beside the British Prime Minister from the 60s and
70s. Yes,
Do you believe that?
Yes.
That sounds a little corny to me.
Yes, absolutely. No, not at all.
Because he said you could figure it out. Was it Heath?
No, Heath's a pedophile big time and he's dead.
Who was the Prime Minister of Heath?
Blair or Brown, Gordon Brown.
It was before that, though. It was in the 70s, didn't he say that? It would have been way before.
No. This guy's 2 years older than me. He said he went into a bar in Scotland, and there was a former prime minister there, right? And he's only 2 years older than me, and he said roughly the date. So it would have been Gordon Brown, in my mind, or Tony Blair.
Okay. I thought it was his father.
This Prime Minister knew who his father was somehow from the past, so that's why they got on together, because he knew who he was. It wouldn't have been Ted Heath or Edward Heath. I say Gordon Brown or Tony Blair. And I'm telling
Tony
you now,
Blair
if you bump into Tony...
Anything.
Yes, he would. Yes, he would. He's a complete psychopath. If he thought that you were part of the club, you'd be sitting there having a drink with him. He would open up completely because they know the media is now sewn up 100%. They can say whatever they like. You can make a claim that Tony, because you know why? I like the fact that he didn't name the name. That's a sign that he knew who he was talking about and he didn't want to cause fraction. If he name dropped,
pretty much said, the name. He said you could figure it out. That's what he said.
Yeah, he said you can figure it out, and that's what I would say too. Because I know interesting people, but I'm not name dropping on a podcast because you can get into all sorts of trouble by, giving the name of someone that's of influence or interesting or a colourful character. So I that's what made me think he's genuine because he didn't name him. If he'd named him, I would have said, yeah, it's a bit dodgy, but he didn't.
I sent him an email to come to have him come on my show, whether he responds with me.
Ab, I reckon he will because he's a Scotsman. I'm telling you, the Scottish are genuine characters. They've just had there's a vibe about a proper Scottish.
Well, they don't
Irishman.
Like the English, do they?
They hate the English.
That helps.
Unless they're in the military. Unless
and he said
in the military.
He lived in off an island in Spain. Interesting.
Yep. Interesting. But yeah, no, look, I went through that show with my critical ear and I picked no. He obviously believed at one stage he says, he's talking about the space satellite, the ISIS, International Space Station.
Of all people,
Ed Opperman said, well, have you seen all the videos that I've seen of the, there's a clearly faked footage of the, and he goes, no, I haven't. Because he goes, I have heard it as a balloon. It is a dirigible. Whatever they've got up there is just a balloon. So that, again, I didn't get triggered at all listening to that show. I thought, yeah, it's credible. He may still believe in these things, but because not everyone's up there with, as you know, we're messing around in the pointy end of conspiracy theory where most people will not grasp or accept that you've got to be aware that you've been lied to about everything, not just one thing, not just two things, everything. And so, not everyone's going to believe space is fake because it's a big call. But if you've done your diligent looking into the technology that they've said, and as he pulled the nuclear bomb apart by just saying fission takes months and months and months of, it's basically rotting a rod or whatever. It's not something that's instantaneous. You can't ignite a bomb. There's no such thing as a nuclear bomb. He just used his own basic logic back in 82. Yeah. And that, now he's obviously done all the research, and he went into the Open University nuclear science course, so he's got a background. Because he said he's having to argue with Facebook people, because he's on Facebook apparently, so that's another way of contacting him.
Yeah.
I don't recommend anyone go on there, as far as I'm concerned, unless you've got you're going on there as someone not you, because all your friends are going to see these posts and you're going to look even more stupid than they think you, your friends obviously will think you're mental anyway. And when I say mental, I mean the Australian version of mental.
You don't want those friends anyway.
You don't want those friends. You don't want anyone. Because what happens when you're on Facebook, your posts get shared to other people that clearly don't agree with you as a part of their feed, and it causes arguments. It's part of their algorithm, the destabilization of humanity, I think. So if you've got your own independent site that you've only got people that agree with the fakeologist mantra that, we've been lied to about everything, you've got to just get, you cannot be on there as your own real person, your own government ID. You've got to be on there as a, what do you call it, a pseudonym or someone completely different.
Even my pseudonym got locked on there, so I had to create another pseudonym.
I've got to do the same. But I've been looking at it a bit lately because I'm trying to market myself slightly. They guided
me with psyops. Psychological operations.
They guided me with psyops.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Is this the end of the Fakeologist bumpers, unless someone rejigs it Where are you, Villicet?
No, I was jiggling the wires, trying to fix something, and I probably broke something. I'll have to go back into it. You know, it's a pretty sensitive system. I was trying to get the Telegram chat to work with the Discord, but they weren't working together. And I probably jiggled the wires.
I saw that. And then someone sent me a...
Me.
Oh, no, that was someone. It was you. Yeah. So there's the Telegram thing is now a talk. There's an audio version of Telegram.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah, it works.
Fantastic.
But it can't hear the Discorders. Well, that's good. So it doesn't work together. Mm. It's hard to make them work together.
Well, by the sound of it, Wild Times is probably the most, what would you call it, computer savvy person on the Discord. He seems to know an awful lot, and he's obviously works in the game. I haven't heard what he does for a job, but he's obviously...
We tried to get it going, but we couldn't.
Okay. Give it time. Anyway, the main thing is the shows are coming out. Yeah, I agree. So, I just wanted to
find another platform because Discord is frustrating me.
Oh, yeah. There's a ticking time bomb, and it's called Discord. Anyway, yeah,
the Craig recorder guy is not working right. So I think he's screwing with me too. I think he's purposely withdrawing his, because I pay for Craig to come auto record.
How much does it cost? How much does Craig cost?
So it's enough.
Interesting number.
$6 a month.
Interesting number. Interesting.
But it's not working. And I've tried to bring it back in 100 times. So. It's obviously something's going on. It's just a backup recorder. So I'm just frustrated. So we lost our music bot. That was a fun thing.
Yep.
So that was a Discord benefit. So we don't have that anymore. I don't have backup recording. So it's really, I couldn't care about it now. And they delete the server all day long.
Oh, I know. Yep. Very frustrating.
And so why do I need Discord?
Yeah, it's got to go. I would say it's got to go.
There's no benefit. It's interesting.
And we lost the last cull. There's a number of people that haven't come back on. They're just given up. Like I noticed, what's the name from IPS?
Linda.
Linda Curtis, gone.
And I use Telegram a lot for. Epic Cash, and it's good for tipping, and it's fast, and they don't seem to delete people. I'm sure they still do, but they don't just have random purges all the time where all of a sudden, poof, you're gone. That I can tell.
Have you heard from or listened to IPS's latest stuff? I haven't.
It's really good.
Okay, well, I got sent a DLive link today by Johnny's List. Johnny's List sent a DLive link.
I know. List is in his chat all the time.
Yeah. Yep. I was too when he was on Discord. Yeah. What's that noise? Who's that noise? Who's that walking?
Thomas J. joins us. He met Frank.
And I'm hopefully going to meet him this week if I can, depending on my
commitment.
Yep. He's coming to Sydney, I believe.
Oh, you're meeting Thomas J or Frank?
Well, Thomas. Thomas is coming to Sydney on Tuesday and going back on Thursday. And it'll all depend on if I can get work in Sydney on Thursday, I'll come down on Wednesday. But otherwise, I can't. But hopefully we can. You might have to mute Thomas because we can hear you.
Is that you, Thomas J, making all that noise?
We're going to hear jingling noises.
Yeah, wire noise.
I'm out in the walker with the dog.
I thought I could hear a jingling noise. It's a dog's lead. A dog's lead.
It's just, we can't hear the voice. Can you hear it?
Mm.
Hang on. Stop there. Stop.
We're just hearing crackling.
Yeah, well, I was just hearing.
That's better.
Do you hear me now? Yeah, good.
It's still crackling.
Yeah, the internet connection in this suburb is absolutely deplorable. Really, I really put Australia like third, fourth tops, as the worst.
It's the worst. You can go to Vietnam right now and go to a village in the middle of nowhere and have 100% clear internet in Vietnam. I've seen it. Here, you can go into, you can be in a Melbourne suburb, which you probably are, or Sydney for that matter, and you've got no service whatsoever. Yet they've got these towers everywhere that supposedly are doing stuff. I don't know what's going on there. I don't know what's going on, but
I'm literally less than, at most, 15 kilometres from the CBD. And my internet, and I've got multiple connections. They're all shit. All of them.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. It's the same here as well, depending on the area where you are. But I'm using the cheapest phone you've ever seen and the cheapest. I've got an Apple headset in, but it comes out. I've listened back to myself, obviously, just to make sure what I was saying. It comes out perfectly, yet I've bought a really expensive microphone once and plugged it into a laptop, and it was shit. Where I was, obviously, had low reception, but how come Vietnam's got state-of-art internet and we haven't? And we supposedly are a first world country. I'm not sure about that anymore. Not sure about that one. But yeah, Abs is really good though, driving around for some reason when he's on the road.
Yeah, we're pretty good Canada. Here.
Are you at Toronto. Home or working, Ab? Yeah. Are you at home or working?
I'm driving around Toronto right now.
Ooh. And you sound like you're next door to me.
Well, that's good.
Next door to me. Yet Thomas is way closer by airplane, probably about 2 hours.
I think, Thomas, are you using one of those headsets that gets stuck in your beard or something?
I'm on the Android phone at the moment. I just fucked it because
why don't you leave? Just leave and come back, see what happens. I'm getting a lot of static. I can hardly hear him.
That bad? Okay. Cool. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not happy. We're getting more reception from your dog's lead than we are from your voice for some reason. But I completely understand because I know why.
I don't have a dog, so I don't understand.
No.
It was all staticky. Yeah, sometimes if you have the wire hanging on from your ears, the mic rubs on against your coat or your beard. Sounds terrible.
I've been there, done that. But interesting, Benoit is in Switzerland, which you would call state of art, everything, and he still last night was, it was very hard to hear what he was saying.
Yeah, well, a lot of people use these earbuds, and then
I'm using one now.
But where's the microphone? Is it in the earbud? So how's the sound going to get your mouth to the earbud?
It's dangling down. The microphone is just dangling next to my mouth. So
yeah, but there's actual earbuds that have no wires. The wireless earbuds?
Yes. Forget about them. They're terrible. They cost $450. And guess how I know that? Because I had to buy a set. Not for me.
And where's the microphone? Oh, no. Is it in the earbuds?
I guess it's in the earbud, yeah. So you're talking.
So how can the sound get from your mouth into your ear? So what kind of sound is it going to be? Not good.
Exactly. And Ab, I'm saying, as a conspiracy theorist of some repute, that this is deliberately done, that these AirPods have got terrible, because they don't want you talking to people. They want you listening to information. They don't want you talking to other people about information. And that's that's my conspiracy theory of the night, that they've deliberately...
Microphones are directional. The sound has to come directly in a straight line into them, and you can't be more than a couple inches away. Otherwise, it loses all its power.
Ab, no kids or when I say kids, I shouldn't say that. No, children under the age of 20 or under 30, say, will walk around with something dangling out of their ear with a microphone on it. They want just their little AirPods in their ear so they can listen to their music or whatever, and that's it. Now, Ab, I have to change the subject. Yeah. Did you listen to the Joe Rogan show, 3-hour interview with the English medical expert saying the Pfizer vaccine is killing people?
No, I don't listen to Joe Rogan. Do you listen to Joe Rogan?
No. But someone sent it to me. It was three hours of interviews. So this particular guy is an English doctor.
All right. He just said, "Hold that thought. I gotta step out for a second. Just hold the thought.
You step out, and I'll be here.
Out in a boat.
In your house. 7:11 p.m. in the Mid North Coast of Australia, Sunday the 25th of May. What did I say before? 21st of May, 2023. 7:11, and again." Just remember, your 7-Elevens, those shops you've got everywhere, are named from an esoteric bent, not the times they're open from 7 to 11. They're open 24 hours. Why wouldn't they call themselves 24-7? No, they call themselves 7-Elevens. There's an esoteric code in that number. Be told. And shout out again, yeah, Dave J, 7 code on the money. On the money, I couldn't argue, didn't try. I just want to see somebody get on their little scooter and go and find out if anyone died or anyone had their arms ripped off in a small regional part of Victoria. Or in Wellington, New Zealand, did anyone actually die in their story that had 6 dead, 11 missing, which is 9/11, be told. Go and find out, get on your tricycles and pedal down there and find out, because we should be able to disprove both claims.
So what was Joe Rogan talking about?
Yeah, so he interviewed, there's an English doctor who's quite well known, who's traveling. He's actually coming. No, I'm not sure, but he's here in the next couple of weeks. He's here doing lectures about the Pfizer vaccines and the one that I'm more concerned of, the blood thinners, the statins that they're pushing on elderly people that are definitely killing people for sure. He's lecturing on them. He's doing a world tour, and Joe Rogan gave him 3 hours where he just spilled the beans.
Do you know his name?
No, not off the top of my head. I thought it might have been Rashid Batar, but it's not, obviously, because he's dead. This was about a week ago that it came out. Really, 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 really good show. He's very English accent, but he's Indian. And this was, he was nailing it to the wall, you know, that Pfizer vaccines have got more harm in them than good. And that there's more likelihood of you ending up in hospital with a clot from a Pfizer vaccine. And AstraZeneca, so he mentioned both. And all you have to do is look up Joe Rogan 3-hour anti-vax ad interview, or possibly, and it'll be there. It will be there, I would say. So, yeah, someone sent it to me, and I listened to, it was just a summary of the conversation, but it said this goes for 3 hours. And Rogan's got, I think, how many million listeners? It's like 12 million or more. He's got a lot of listeners. So the fact that he actually ran that interview without cutting the guy off says to me, we're going into, the Schwab World Economic Forum, they want chaos. And so if all of a sudden hundreds of thousands of people start class actions against Pfizer and the people that told them to get vaccinated, i.e. their bosses of small businesses, hairdressers, beauticians, dentists, medical professionals, healthcare workers were all made to get vaccinated. If that vaccine is causing them to get strokes, there's going to be litigation, and that could be part of this World Economic Forum 2030 agenda. In my mind, as a conspiracy theorist, in my mind. Ba-ding, ba-ding. I can be, someone's coming in, coming out. And you, I can't hear anything. Abby is still there. Ab, are you there? I made soup tonight with a whole chicken, organic, and lots of vegetables. And it's delicious. Delicious. Just have to say that. Just have to say it. Hello. I can hear somebody. So, can you? Is it Thomas? Can you hear me? No. Ab's gone, and you've gone.
Yes, mate. I hear too. No problem.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. So, are you? So, Thomas, are you a musician by?
Yes.
Did someone say that you're a musician? You are.
I apologise for the sorry, I'm messed up in the dog. I'm not sure how good the set.
Yeah, no, you're coming through, yeah. I can hear you, but I'm hearing the same noise from Thomas as the it sounds like a metal lead on a dog causing more electronic friction.
Yeah, I heard the better before, but my dog's lead is not making any noise whatsoever.
All we're getting is a kind of metallic sound anyway that's coming through.
It's just stupid, isn't it? Australians, you know, it's the worst.
You know, we are not the first world, not the second world. We're the 15th world for internet technology. Oh. It really is bad. There's no doubt about it. But man, you're definitely.
I've been posted to me because of fast.com afterwards, but I've been getting the last couple of weeks while they're doing some works on the Optus network here in I'm in Altona, right? And I've been getting less than a megabyte a second.
I think they're doing this deliberately so we start begging to build a tower next to our house or whatever, you know. That could be part of the modus operandi of the, and they would do that, be told. I mean, there's no, any way of getting more of these microcell towers stuck into your house, you know, if they promise a 15-year-old faster internet speeds, the kids are going to say, yes, please, we want faster internet speeds.
Probably they've got no idea to even guess it. You know, they're basically,
So while I can hear you, which is, it's not that easy, but I can hear you, you are a musician at work as a musician?
I've never been able to make a living out of playing music.
That's good. Yeah. Oh, fantastic. It's interesting. Always musicians. I think there's something in the air of musicians that can pick up on truth. I've been having this conversation with a couple of people lately that seems to be all for musicians. Yes, I can hear you 100%.
Thomas, not so good. Issues. I had to use a backup Bluetooth. Okay, well, whatever.
Thomas is still clicking and clocking. But,
yeah, take out your...
Hi, this is Heroes.
Purple Plate.
So where do you go now?
I'm really quiet.
The Asarian.
Psioptica.
For science.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
And our beeps are working at the whole shit show today.
I've just made the best chicken soup on the planet, Ab. Be told.
The chicken?
I'm the unofficial little Jewish grandmother. Not that I'm Jewish or a grandmother, but I bought a chicken. It said organic, you know, it was for $5 or $6, some ridiculous price. So I've put in a slow cooker and added lots of herbs and vegetables, and it's going to be the best thing ever. And it's $6 or $7 will feed me for. Well, I'm not, but I'm. Let's just say, you know, I've got the talent for making healthy meals, with and because I know the alchemy of healthy meals, and that is turmeric, pepper, salt, and a few, you know, various herbs, and it's so easy to eat cheaply and be healthy if you choose to do it, or you can go and buy a takeaway food, which a lot of parents do to appease their children, and get burgers and, you know, McDonald's and things like that. That will kill you at the end of the day, but no. Now, Ab, have you heard anything from Marcus Allen, the wonderful Marcus Allen, who I haven't heard from?
You're the only one that was making contact, not me.
Yeah, no, that was a while ago, but I couldn't. I was hoping Velocet was going to do something, and you know.
What happened to your Velocet shows? Are they still on or off?
No, not at all. I've been off at all because he's not on. He's, you know, he was trying to find accommodation. He's trying to get his, you know, a work life situation, which, so I don't care, you know, like it's, to me, it's.
So he's still scrambling to recover? It's been a while. Should have been going by now.
Yeah, but life's like that. Life is like that, and you know, to find a great place to live, and in Sydney at the moment is really difficult, really, really difficult. And he was trying in you know, in a region kind of way out of Sydney, and he was still having issues. So, I don't know, it's all good. I'm not harassing him about it, but I was hoping Marcus Allen, he only does show, look. I think he had an issue with Fakeologist Discord where, you know, there's a lot of people there that want to pile on him and have a go at him. There was certainly one or two on there. And he's probably got a, you know, can't be bothered gene in his body, which I would have myself if someone was harassing me.
I don't know what the deal is, so I don't know.
Yeah, I'd love to be able to chat with him, but it's really difficult, as you know, when – you've got a life, you know, you've got to do, your life basically is, when he's waking up, you're going to sleep, and when he's asleep, you're getting up, like me and you. You work well with me because we have odd work hours and we're both used to being, you know, functioning at either very early or very late. Because I can do very early, it's no problem whatsoever, but when it comes to, say, 10 or 11 o'clock in the day, most times I'm busy, I've got stuff to do, but I'm prepared to try and work that one out with him if he wants to do something. But I just figure you're coming through perfect now.
Okay, because my new car, it's obviously the radio is a computer. And yes. It doesn't work as well as my old car because they changed the software, and it just reset. It just rebooted.
Well, now itself. It's perfect.
So you just came into.
It's perfect.
I know you just came into that radio system. So I tell you, this technology—it's a miracle. It works. It's a miracle because it's made by humans, and humans aren't that great.
Humans are fallible, Ab. Humans are fallible. That's the word I would use.
They upgrade the system and make it worse. That's my favorite part of it.
Guaranteed. So tell me, what kind of car did you buy when you updated your vehicle? Was it for the family, a family car?
No, I'm buying the same one. This is the third one I got because I still like it. It's a hybrid. And it's a van.
What brand, though? A hybrid van. What brand?
It used to be called Chrysler, but now it's called Stellantis.
Okay, we don't have that here, and I've got no idea. We're very
Well, they own Fiat, Alfa Romeo.
Oh, okay.
I think they bought Peugeot. They bought Chrysler. It's another one of these worldwide corporations. Yeah, Peugeot, whatever.
Yeah.
They're all consolidating, like the beer companies. They all these
wow
big globalist corporations.
I just have to talk about the stars above my head. Absolutely
all right,
clear.
Go for it.
It's just incredible. I wish I could remember what I'd forgotten, because I'm telling you, back in probably when I was 12 or 13, I knew more about the star constellations than I do now. And it's just phenomenal. It's completely clear. There's a Milky Way. There's stars glowing red, flickering left, right, and center. It's just incredible. It's like a canopy of lights above my head.
Nice.
I have to say that.
Nature.
Yeah, anyway, your cars. It's nature, yeah. It's the star clock. And it was interesting you brought that up, that the crow and Amanda Vollmer boiling vinegar in your backyard with
control. Oh, my God. That's pretty kooky, Rick.
I got sent it by Fake Ake from Sweden. And I just went, wow. Like, I said, yeah, I've heard. I thought I was the only one that spotted it, but it's just wow. I mean, that is a claim and a half. This is what IPS is jumping on top of.
It's another layer on a layer. I'm not a chemtrail guy, and I get quite a bit of grief about that. I'm not. And this is another layer of nonsense on top of it. So,
oh, my God. Even me is what I would call a highly registered chemtrail believer. I was like, what the? You know, what the, when I heard that.
Yeah, that's another layer of stupid, ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And if you start telling normal people that kind of thing,
Now, listen, I have to say this. Changing the subject, or not the subject, but Crow 777. Like Ed Opperman, you've got your shows that you've got a show that's either the best thing you've ever heard or it's like that one.
Yeah.
You know, you're shaking your head. Now, he interviewed Alex. What's his surname? Is Alex Michaels. Oh, Alex Michaels is the guy that wrote his theme tune. And he is a English musician living in Spain or Portugal.
Does everyone live in Spain that's from Great Britain?
Yeah, you know why?
The weather,
simple as that. Anyway, Alex Michael, who's a fantastic character, he wrote Crow's theme tune. He's a musician that can play any instrument to perfection. Alex wrote it. And it's fantastic. Anyway,
we need one for fakeologists.
Yeah, well, listen. Well, we should contact him because he is a really good, nice guy, and he's got a good heart about him, and he's got the. Anyway,
have to pay.
You know the fourth. I don't think so because you just plug him, and say, you know, this is who wrote the song, because people, you know, he's obviously selling. He's got his own albums, and so he's got a couple of characters that he pretends to be.
I've never heard Crow plug him once. Not even one time.
He doesn't, but every now and then he brings him on for his third or fourth or fifth appearance on the show and says, this is the guy that wrote my theme tune. Yeah. Anyway, he reads from a book. Now, this is really, really crucial information here. The guy that came up with changing the music that you listen to from 432 mega cycles or whatever it is, megahertz, the frequency, to 440, which is double four. Dave J will understand what I'm talking about here. The music was changed. Anyway, he's found this old book written about the guy that came up with that. They changed the frequency by that. Somehow this guy was backed with the Rockefeller money. Opened up factories to build new instruments, pianos and brass instruments, which couldn't be retuned into the 440 megahertz thing in 1890 or whatever it was.
Bizarre.
He reads from the guy's biography. Oh, it's fantastic. I'll find it, because this is, again, there's information
thought,
out there that you need.
Hold that thought.
Yeah.
Hold that thought.
Yeah. Well, I'll keep talking. Yeah, Alex Michaels interview with Crow 777. Not sure where it came from. Just Google. You can do it with the, you know, research. I'm going to go find the guy's name. It was a American who somehow lobbied the government to change the frequency of music from 432, the healing frequency, be told, the healing frequency, to 440, which is the number of death. And if I'll change the subject slightly, if you Google Black Cube, the Mossad, ex-Mossad intelligence agency that help you remove anyone that's harassing you online that's telling you that you're a liar, Black Cube sort those people out. They were the ones that Weinstein brought in to discredit all the people that are making allegations against him. Their phone number in England is 44666 1515. That's ISIS to you, slow of thinking. 1515. Digits and numbers are mixed in with Kabbalah. Be told. Be told. And their number is, they use 44 on the, I guess that's England's phone number code. That's the number of death, the frequency of death. And 440 megahertz or cycles is very bad for your head. And this guy absolutely nails it all. And he reads from the book and he names it the Rockefeller Foundation finances, you know, changing instruments into different frequencies. It's all done. It's all there. It's all there for the smart guy to, you know, do a bit of research into. Crucial information, like the fake nukes. Fake nukes is crucial information. You must be aware of the scam. You must be aware, because it's going to come and bite you in the ass if you don't, because they're going to come scare the fuck out of you in the next 3 months, 4 months.
Oh.
1 month from now, the fifth. They're gonna fake you this year. I'm telling you now, they're gonna do.
What's
it.
Going on?
They're gonna fake a nuke this year because the movie.
All right.
The
biggest... Are you gonna go see Opperman?
No. Yes.
Yeah, I gotta go.
I'm gonna go in there. I'm gonna have to go there by myself, so I'm not with my children.
My daughter wants to see some actor that's in it. She doesn't care about the movie. She cares about the actor, and I can't remember his name. So
that's what. Well. Before you came on, I was saying that this movie is the new version of Pearl Harbor that they released with.
You think?
You know,
it's going to be a change.
Yeah, guaranteed. Yeah, it's guaranteed.
IPS is the only one talking about this. IPS.
Yeah. Well, I agree with everything he's saying, because I've already picked up that Pearl Harbor was released 3 or 6 months before 9/11 with all the most interesting actors that all the kids wanted to see back in those days. You know, you had the guy that plays Batman now. It's no Superman and Batman, actually, to be honest. He's Batman, not Superman. He's playing the lead role in the total psychological operation that Pearl Harbor was. They did that just before 9/11. I'm telling you right now.
The new Pearl Harbor.
The new one this year is going to be via Oppenheimer. They're reiterating the nuke lie to scare you so you understand about nuclear bombs before they redo another psychological operation. It's almost...
event that they've already filmed in Houston because they did a nuclear drill?
Yep. That could well be, Ab. Yeah, and just remember, White Noise is the most evil intent movie that's been produced of the last God knows how long after Pearl Harbor. That
and luckily
could be part
it was
of
unwatchable,
it,
you know? So most people probably did not or could not watch it, like me.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, look, I've listened to every analysis. Oh, and then the other night, I said to my son, put it on. We started watching it, and I went, no, I don't want to watch any more of this, because I could see where it was going. It was just totally, you're useless. You know, the white people need to be removed. It's all white people's fault. It had everything in it, you know.
Horrible.
Yeah, but I had two of the top actors of the day right now, Don Cheadle and the guy from Star Wars, playing the lead roles. These are good actors. These aren't cheap actors. So this movie, even though it looks shitty and bad, it's a movie that they want you to see to be run you down. It's an agenda-filled movie, for sure. And Sean McCann did that breakdown with Hans Zada and William Ramsey. Oh, are you still listening to that podcast? He hasn't done much lately, but he's good. You know, again, stoner alert, but he's good. But what I'm saying is that the movie that Oppenheimer that's been released next month, which is June,
July,
by coincidence.
End of July, actually,
Well, give it. So maybe December is going to be the big one. They're going to do another Pearl Harbor in December. They're going to do a nuke, fake nuke with Putin behind it, guaranteed. There's something going to happen with nukes. There's something big coming, for sure. You hear it here. Just remember, when you heard this information, to give credit to me and send large chunks of money to my bank account, which I'm not going to give
you. Well, IBS has been saying it, too. You have to share
it with him. I will happily share it. No, actually, I'm not asking for money. But what I'm saying, that he's right. I haven't been listening to him, but if he's saying it, I agree. Oppenheimer is not being released for any other reason, to reiterate the nuke lie into your brains. It's a weaponized movie, just like Pearl Harbor was in 2001. The what were they called? The American New American Plan for New American Century, PNAC Group. They said in 1998, 1999, they said, we need an event the magnitude of Pearl Harbor to achieve our purposes. This time, they're going to use a nuke, not a real nuke, a fake nuke event. It's coming up this year, maybe next year. I'm not sure. But whatever he said then, it's happening. Guaranteed. It's too obvious. And if IPS is saying it, I agree.
Are people going to buy into it? I don't know.
Yeah, Ab. Do you really think? Yes. Yes, they are. I told you, I sent my brother tonight that interview with the nuke guy from Oppenheim.
Oh, what do you
and
think?
And all his comments were, he said if he can't say napalm properly, because the guy was calling it napalm, the buildings. He said that if he can't say napalm, I don't believe anything he says. That's what he said. That was his excuse. Well, I said, he's Scottish. He can say whatever he likes to say to pronounce an event or whatever. But yeah, it's on the cards, Ab. There's no doubt about it. The only reason Christopher Nolan, the biggest psychological, Christopher Nolan is your new.
Kubrick,
yeah, for sure.
Kubrick, yeah.
He is the new Kubrick, yeah. And if he's got the cast that he has, and I know he's got this incredible cast, and everyone's going to want to see it, they're not doing it for any other reason to reiterate nuclear bombs as a threat to humanity when we, the smart people, we understand them. They were the, like, fear and control, you know, controlling people by fear. That's what it is. And our children.
It's all it is.
Yeah, yeah. And I reiterate, Michael Hutchins, before he died, he'd done a sub project called.
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value for value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support.
Yeah, we're back.
Rick and Ab on the 21st of May 2023. And I was going to reiterate very clearly that Michael Hutchence, who mysteriously died back, apparently, I'd say he's dead, he'd released a sub-project called Max Q, 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 Max Q, and the song Way of the World is about nuclear bombs and God being your control, fear via control, control via fear. Way of the World by Max Q. Look it up, watch the video, and you're going to see some really powerful imagery and great songs. And they're going to do the same thing again. There's no doubt about it. I think I was right back when the New Zealand shooting. I was on the FART, Fakeologist Australia Roundtable show that we did with Velocet, Rollo, and announced Sop today, but the fantastic Golden Skimmark slash or every other name he calls him. I said on that show something big's coming because this is 100% control mechanism. They've shared this video via Facebook of this guy running around shooting people in New Zealand. Yeah. They've got a sense that you...
Am I coming through?
And sure enough, yeah, you're coming through.
I'm not coming through. Okay, good.
Yes.
Sorry, because somebody was calling me and I thought it was screwing up the audio.
No, it's all good. I had that happen last week and I thought it was ruining the thing, but when I listened back to it to hear what I said, and that's the only reason I do it, I don't like the sound of my own voice.
Somebody called you?
That line out. Yeah, while I was trying to talk, but it actually didn't affect the stream whatsoever. So it's interesting.
Well, that's good.
But once before... someone rang me and I ended up talking and you could hear it over the podcast. So I was a bit concerned. It can possibly ruin your...
I'm going to mute for one sec.
All good. I'm going to go soon. So you mute and I'll keep talking. Yeah, Max Q, Way of the World, Michael Hutchence singing about the nuclear bomb and religion being used to control you. And then he died very shortly after that. It's a coincidence. But this song is fantastic. And Hutchence, I've seen live before. Fantastic performer. Absolutely fantastic. Even the Rolling Stones, and I'm talking about Jagger and Keith Richards, said they were envious of the how well the band got on together, like they were back in the 60s. They recognised this band gelled together and performed together live and were fantastic. Hutchence was a great performer, no doubt. I saw him when he was only probably 20, when I was about 18 or 15, whatever. I'm not sure how old he is. Was. But he was a great performer and he had a conscience for sure about him. He wasn't just what your, Pearl Jam and... other sellout bands like Rage Against the Machine. Yep. Hutchence had a conscience, 100%.
Huh?
And anyway, I'm going to go soon, Ab. I'm going to go. But I can,
you're
I,
a little
I can
early. Talk you usually go in 15 minutes. I time you.
Well, I'll go in 15 minutes. No, I'll go in 15 minutes. So I've got no problem with that. I just thought that you were dropping in and out and you hadn't to go to it. Yep,
no. I got a 15-minute stretch right now. The talk.
Yeah, tell me, have the Fakeologist Radio, Fakeologist.com, who have you interviewed this week or have you been talking to anyone of interest that we should know about?
Well, I talked to Frank. Frank is Thursdays, an ounce of salt. Yes. He's always bringing something to the table, so we like that.
Oh, for sure.
And
usually salt.
Well, yeah, usually. Yeah, usually. For sure. He talked to a pretty young thing from Australia, and I was making fun of his bad audio and his video, where he's holding his hand over the camera.
I know. He couldn't see his face because he was holding his hand over the camera. I thought,
He's a good egg. So we talked to Frank. That's fantastic. Thursdays, and there's hockey going on right now, and even though. Toronto's not in it. I'm watching a bit of that just as a distraction, you know. And because COVID is supposedly over, gone. So that's what it's I've been gone. Pushing for 3 years. Yeah,
It's gone.
Not gone.
So can you imagine? All right, look, Ab,
I just don't think
that.
It's gone.
No, we know that. But Media Bear must be absolutely getting really upset because he's lost his reason for all his songs at the moment.
Yeah, for now. But I still think companies are still enforcing the clot shot to get hired. So that's a problem.
Well, I'll tell you, tomorrow I'm going to go and try and flog my wares to a business that looks after old people. It's, you know, because up where I am, it's mainly old people that live here. And I bumped into a mother of kids, you know, from the school, you know, we used to talk to back in the day when the kids were at school together. And she said to me, you've got to come down to my business. I work for, you know, she does old folks care. She said they've lost so many of their staff. And she said, badly need people that, you know, can do whatever. And she said, come down, do it. Now, I'm going to go down there. I'll find out tomorrow if I need to be vaccinated because I want to tell them outright I'm not taking a flu shot, which is what they push on majority of people working for old people.
Oh, the flu shot, not
the vaccine. Mm. But I'll let you know tomorrow.
A flu shot is a vaccine. I don't know why it has a separate
it's the
name.
Worst. It shouldn't. It's the worst version. The same crap. Yeah. So I'm going to go and try and get work
get
with them.
A
if they're going to tell me.
Just different marketing.
Ooh. Exactly. I'll let you know tomorrow anyway, first-hand information. Because I'm going to give them. I'm prepared to do whatever you need down there, maintenance, cleaning, gardens, whatever. My business encompasses all. I'm registered for care workers. I've got the provider's name, provider's number. Give me work. The only reason they're going to give me no work is if I'm not vaccinated, and I'll find out via them tomorrow. So I'll give you a live report. Next time I talk.
And like I said at the beginning, Denny Rancor, you got to listen to this guy. He has, now it's different for every country, but I think he said the worst country was India, where he says they killed 13 million people. The clot shot they used there was as high as 3% mortality.
Wow.
That's pretty high. So that means 3 out of 100 shots. Were the death shots there?
Poison. Yeah.
Now, obviously,
I did tell you. I think I told you last night. I had three interesting stories in the last 2 days. One was my ex told me that a guy that used to come around here and do the gardens. That she was working for a company that had people that had issues. With brain issues, and she used to get them to do, you know, they'd come around and do the gardens here, and she'd bring them around, and he was a fantastic, really nice guy. He'd had a fall and got a brain injury, but anyway, he mysteriously died with for no reason. He's same age as me. He just died on Thursday, dead, gone.
This last Thursday.
They don't know why. But he's dead. He had suddenly died.
Are you doing an autopsy?
Well, I'll find out eventually. But so he was one. Then there was another friend of mine. As I said it last night, I bumped into him while I was shopping. His daughter's been hospitalised with clots. She's just given birth. She's only 21.
Oh yeah,
and she's got clots. And another guy who was working in a restaurant in Sydney via my sister had a stroke, and he's very, very, like, lost one side of his body, and he's only in his 30s, Asian guy. So that's 3 in 2 days, roughly, or a day and a half, of people have heard of something.
That's a lot of anecdotes that we're assuming.
I'm saying they did. I'm telling you they did.
Well, the vaccination rate in Australia has got to be, do you think it's over 90%?
90%. Yeah, 100%. Sorry, yeah. 90%, but 100% yes, but not 100%, but 90% for sure. But yet, Ab, I've been bumping in to more people that I never thought would have been anti-vaccination, that were anti-vaccination. Like some of the staff at the restaurant at Moon Harvest Cafe that I was chatting away to well after the event, you know, I said, you know, they were only working there because they were nurses or working for old people's homes, and they had to resign because they refused to be vaccinated. And so it's a thing, you know, that there's people were definitely lost their jobs and lost whatever because, and I lost, again, $100,000 worth of work a year because I wasn't vaccinated, guaranteed.
Well,
so,
you're alive, though. You want the money,
yeah, I'm alive.
Or you want to be alive, yeah, and healthy and not clotting up. Because if you clotted you would have to stop everything.
Look, there's not a day goes by that I don't think, thank God, I was part of the fight back that said, no, I'm not doing it. And luckily I was looked after financially while I was being that, you know, negative Nelly that refused to be vaccinated. Yeah. I had no problems. I had no problem. I was getting paid, I think, $1,200 a week for free in my bank account over the, you know, so many weeks while the big lockdowns were on. Yeah. I had more money in the bank than I've ever had. Plus I had, you know, a few jobs that I was still working at. At the moment, it's gone the complete, it's gone the complete opposite. It's like I just feel that they're still pulling the stuff on. There are still businesses that I see that have signs on their doors saying, if you're not vaccinated, you can't come in here. Hairdressers.
That's crazy. How's your economy in Australia? Because I think the economy is not tanking here where we are.
Yeah. No, it's tanking here. But they're not telling you that. They're putting this positive spin. And
I'm just looking around, and all trucking companies are laying off drivers and parking trucks.
Yeah.
And
the
produce that comes from California, I'm hearing it's too expensive, so people aren't buying it. So guess what? It's not being trucked over here. So that's drying up too. It's crazy.
Yeah. No, things aren't good here, and that's why I'm suffering. Normally, as I don't advertise at all, normally I have people that, you know, asking around. I get contacted and I get work by people I've known. I've never had to advertise for many years. Now I'm going to have to market myself because the work is just simply not there. I lost 3 days a week from that cafe going south. I lost a number of jobs in Sydney from people selling their houses to get out of town and move into somewhere simple, you know, to exploit their market value on their house. So it's the kind of fallout is happening, as far as I can see, that things aren't that good. But they don't want you to know that because they want to bring in 2 million people here in the next year and a half. That's what they've announced. The official figures for migrants are going to be 2 million new people. We have homeless. I know. I speak to people, real people, alive people that are breathing at the gym that are telling me that they're living in caravan parks because they can't find a house to rent because it's too expensive for them. So things are bad, but they're not telling you that on the media. They want you to think everything's fantastic.
Where are they going to put all these people that they bring in?
Oh, I have no... Look, and the other day, by coincidence, on the back of my van from the lockdowns, I have a sticker that says, I believe in freedom. You know, it's basically an anti-lockdown sticker. And an old guy came up to me and he said, that's an interesting sticker. He goes, I was at a service station filling up with diesel and he was filling his car up and with his wife and he came over and he said, that's a really interesting sticker. What do you think about the future? And I said to him, well, I think it's going to get worse. And he said, well, I do a blog. He goes, I'm really interested in, you know, come over and have a chat because he knows politics. He's involved with some, what they call themselves, a liberal Democrat. if that's a thing. I would say to him, I'm not interested in any politics whatsoever, but he was really interested to see that I was against vaccines and mandates and stuff like that. So hopefully we'll have some interesting conversations. I'll contact him. He gave me his business card and his blog that he does.
Was that this week?
On Thursday.
Oh, and he gave me a
business card with it.
Bring him on to the audio chat.
Well, I think he'll be really interested because he just had that kind of vibe about him. He'd seen my sticker to say, you know, basically freedom over lockdowns, which is basically what it says. And he just said things are going to get worse. And we were talking about the migration that's coming over. And he said, this is suicide. And he's right. It's the country is suiciding by bringing 2 million migrants into a country with health care issues.
What about Ireland? I heard it's even worse there.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Oh, yeah. Ireland is being decimated, Ab. Decimated, which is 10 decimated. It's been destroyed by migration of a level that they've never seen before. And these people are coming from countries, surely to God, that don't want to go to a country that rains, you know, 80% of the year, and it's cold 70% of the year. They're coming from India and Africa. And why would you want to go to a country that rains like that? Ireland is a completely independent. It's a country full of a very different people, and that they're tough. Like Scotland, it's cold, it snows, it's ice. If you're coming from Africa and you've been forced into that country, you're not going to live very long. You put it this way, your generational insurance, if you were to be insured for how long you're going to live, it's not going to be very long. You've got black skin. You need to have the sun on you. Yeah, for your skin to to produce your immune system. This is part of the cull, the Great Reset and the migration thing is part of the cull of people. They're moving people that should not be living in a winter country with dark skin that need to have the vitamins and minerals produced by the sunlight into the melanin, the melatonin or whatever it is. I just see it as all bad, and I see it as part of the cult. Forget about vaccines. They're going to die just of lack of nutrients because they're living in a country.
Do you think that's the reason they're bringing them just to sort of kill
them? Yeah.
That is not good.
No, it's not good, but I really hate to say this, but I think I'm right. Yes, I'm a conspiracy theorist, but I think that's part of the Great Reset and the weapons of mass migration is you're going to bring in people that not only are they not part of your
culture.
What would you call it? Your kin. In Scotland, they call it your kin. Your kin. It's your culture. Yeah, your culture, your kin. And they don't get on. And no matter how hard you try and what music you like and everything, these people have got a history of different – it's completely different to us. And they're going to die from lack of sunlight and lack of nutrients in the food – what food they're going to get. And they get pushed onto junk food possibly anyway by their
processed food.
Manufactured food, yeah. They're not going to live –
they probably eat more naturally in Africa.
Guaranteed they do, but they're being forced out, and Africa's being filled up with the Chinese and the Indian. So that they're now saying, if you look at the World Economic Forum's predictions for the biggest, fastest growing country on the planet, it's Africa.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
And we're back.
You're listening to Rick and Ab on the last bit of the Rick and Ab show on the 21st of May, 2023. But I've got to say, yeah, the The mineral deposits and the money to be made out of Africa is incredible. And some of that, Antarctica is obviously full of it as well, but they don't want you going anywhere near there. But just say Africa, they are forcing the original occupants of those regional areas over to areas like Ireland, England, Canada, countries that are not suited to their particular skin colour. And I think, to be honest, this is part of a cultural destruction of the entire planet. They want our population brought down. I am a conspiracy theorist, and yeah, I'm quite
obvious.
Proud of it.
On so many fronts, it's obvious.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, Ab, fantastic conversation.
Thank you, Rick.
10 out of 10. Thank you, Ab. And Fakeologist Radio, Fakeologist.com, Fakeologist Audio, Fakeologist.com, Fakeologist Discord, Fakeologist.com, Fakeologist iTunes.
Telegram.
You've got there.
Fake11.com/telegram/discord.
FakeOtube.com.
Lots of good stuff.
I'll speak to you next
week. Thank you, Rick. Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Thanks, Thomas.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick.
That's all, folks.